Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of SGS Enterprises, hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nikhil Kale from Axis Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rutuja. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Q1 FY23 post-results conference call of SGS Enterprises. From the management team today, we have with us Mr. K. Joseph, Managing Director, Mr. Sanjay Thapar, Executive Director and CEO, Mr. Soumya Moganti, VP Finance, and Ms. Devanshi Dhruva, Head IR. I now hand it over to Devanshi for opening remarks. Over to you, Devanshi.
Thank you, Nikhil. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for being with us over the call today. We appreciate it. Also, on behalf of everybody at SGS, we hope and wish that all your friends and family members are keeping safe. Moving on, this is how we intend to take today's conference call forward. I will pass on the dais to Sanjay Thapar, our CEO and Executive Director, who will take you all through some of the slides on the presentation, which I hope all of you would have got a chance to go through. The presentation has been uploaded on our website as well. Sanjay will take you all through the industry view, our business performance and financial highlights, and also share the outlook and strategy ahead for the future growth. Post which, we will then open it for Q&A. We also have Soumya Moganti, our VP Finance, with us on this call today. The duration of this call is around 60 minutes, and we will try to wrap up our comments in about 20 minutes, so we leave enough time for you guys to ask questions. If the time is not enough, please feel free to reach out to us through email or write to us, and I will try and answer all your questions to the best of my ability. Thank you once again, and I will now hand it over to Sanjay to make his opening comments. Over to you, Sanjay.
Yeah. Thank you, Devanshi. Hello, and good morning, everyone. Hope everybody is doing well and keeping safe. I take this opportunity to introduce you to Mr. Mahendra Naredi, who joined us as the CFO of the company. Mahendra comes with a very strong finance background, with more than 20 years experience in managing finance function in the automotive industry, both in India and at European locations. His last stint was as Associate Vice President, Corporate Finance with Minda Corporation. Now, coming back to SGS, you all know by now that SGS is one of the leading players in the Indian aesthetics industry. It is a unique company dedicated to serving and enhancing the growing aesthetic needs for the automobile, consumer appliance, and other industries, both in India and overseas. SGS is a blend of strong design capability, backed with the state-of-the-art manufacturing in an environment that few can match globally. I'm proud of where SGS has reached today. We have some robust growth plans for this company to make it reach newer heights, and we are just getting started for this exciting journey ahead. We had declared our results yesterday, and I trust you would have had the chance to go through our investor presentation as well. I will use this as the reference point while I speak to you today. SGS has been consistent in its performance, and this quarter is no different, as we have yet again continued to outperform the industry on a YOY basis. Premiumization theme is accelerating every year, and we are quite bullish on the premiumization within the automotive and consumer durable industry, both in the medium and the long term. However, there are some near-term challenges due to global uncertainties. As you would observe in slide 6, for the quarter ending June 2022, the two-wheeler industry production volume grew by 38% YOY, while SGS two-wheeler sales shot up by 75%. Passenger vehicle industry volume grew by 33%, and SGS PV sales also grew around 30% YOY. Overall, automotive segment, that is two-wheeler and passenger vehicles combined, grew by 37% YOY, while SGS automotive segment grew by about 54% YOY. Our consumer appliance segment also grew by about 10% YOY. Sequentially, SGS domestic sales are largely in line with the two-wheeler passenger vehicle industry production. Quarter-on-quarter, domestic sales have picked up and witnessed good performance, while exports were largely impacted on account of various global uncertainties and challenges. Despite QOQ impacts on impact on exports, SGS maintained its Q4 FY22 sales momentum. Slide 8 further talks about the financial performance. I would like to highlight that SGS delivered a strong Q1 FY23 performance in a challenging environment, especially for the automotive industry, which continues to face headwinds of commodity price increases. Our consolidated revenue grew 39% YOY to 1031 million. We delivered robust growth on EBITDA and PAT numbers, which jumped 50% and 71% YOY respectively. We continue to maintain strong EBITDA and PAT margins at 26.4% and 15.4% despite inflationary environment and raw material supply chain constraints. So strong focus on VAV measures and operational efficiencies at our plants and the improvement initiatives we've taken have led to EBITDA and PAT margin expansion by 170 basis points and 280 basis points YOY respectively. Sequentially, the two-wheeler and consumer appliance segments grew by about 4-5% and 7-8% respectively. Our margins remain robust with EBITDA and PAT margins again improving by 106 basis points and 82 basis points quarter on quarter. Our domestic sales witnessed around 58% YOY growth with strong sales growth in all our end segments. Exports were impacted on account of global uncertainties like the Russia-Ukraine war leading to lower demand as well as supply chain constraints of raw materials for EMEA region manufacturers, rising fuel prices globally and an inflationary environment. However, as we mentioned earlier, we are happy to see that despite this QOQ impact on exports, SGS has maintained its Q4 sales momentum. As mentioned earlier, exports is a large opportunity and continues to remain a strong lever of growth for the company over the medium and the long term. Due to the fact that SGS, we are focused on improving our competitive edge by reducing waste and improving our margins, and we have demonstrated this every year. So year on year, our performance continues to be very strong. SGS standalone has witnessed a strong 29.4% YOY sales growth, delivered in an even stronger growth on the margin front. EBITDA and PAT grew by 40% and 51% respectively for SGS. Higher sales and operating leverage have led SGS to deliver consistent improvement in margins. So SGS standalone margins improved by 244 basis points and 283 basis points to 32.2 and 20.3%, both for EBITDA and PAT respectively. Q2 FY23 has started on a robust note for us. We've achieved revenue of around 380 million in July 22 on back of improvement in customer demand. Despite raw material supply chain constraints and inflation, we continue to maintain efforts to maintain our margins. We believe we are on the right path to meet our FY23 YOY growth rate of 25% that I informed you in my last call. Going ahead, we believe that domestic two-wheeler passenger vehicle industry outlook will be positive with improving chip availability and expectations of a pickup during the festive season. Export volumes too remain strong over the medium term, but near-term volumes could get impacted given the various macro issues in some key markets. Coming to slide 9, just last quarter we laid out our FY23-25 strategy, and today we are very excited to share some of our key business updates which will act as a stepping stone for us in achieving our goals. So we expanded our overseas footprint by adding two Whirlpool plants in North America as our customers. We entered a new country, Argentina, by winning business with Aladio, which is a Mabe Group company who is the leading manufacturer of consumer appliances in Latin America. Additionally, Exotech won its first export business by cross-selling chrome-plated parts to Whirlpool. We also have a razor-sharp focus on building mega accounts with our global customers and winning new orders from customers like Continental, Marelli, Stellantis and Whirlpool, among others. We also won several projects for key customers like Mahindra, TVS, Samsung, Bajaj Auto and Maruti Suzuki. In fact, we would like to share that we are very proud to be associated as a supplier of chrome-plated parts to the Scorpio N that recently set the market ablaze by announcing 1 lakh bookings in the first 30 minutes of launch. So the demand in the market remains very robust and SGS have the right products to grow. SGS is also working along with EV manufacturers like Benling India, Navbharat Edison Motors, Graviton, amongst others, to fulfill EV companies' demand and requirements. Our customers are recognizing our efforts on new product development as we bag more and more orders from our existing and new customers across the product categories. Honda Motorcycle and Scooter Company recently awarded us for excellence in new product development at their annual supplier meet held recently. We have identified a large parcel of around 7.5 acres of land in Ranjangaon, Pune, where we will build a state-of-the-art facility to expand our chrome plating business. We expect this land transfer process and possession of the land to be completed by October 22. So at the end, I would like to mention that we are a company delivering strong financial performance and have a very strong revenue and margin growth trajectory ahead. As I mentioned to you last quarter, though the automotive industry has been going through a share of challenges for the past 2 years, SGS has consistently demonstrated its robust performance in these tough times, and we are confident we will continue to do so in coming years as well. Keeping that in mind, we stay firm on our FY23 outlook as well as on our medium-term guidance over FY23 to FY25. We believe we are moving in the right direction. We have high visibility of around 90% of our forecasted order book for the current year. Premiumization, new customer wins, expected exports recovery from H2 FY23 onwards, and a positive outlook expected for the automotive and consumer durables will enable us to deliver higher sales growth for SGS than the industry. Our strategy for Exotech capacity expansion to meet higher customer demand pipeline, continued thrust on exports to diversify our business, consistent efforts to develop new products and technologies to stay ahead of the curve, and building mega accounts with key customers will give the much needed boost to our sales growth engine. High sales growth, strong margin profile, and expected operating leverage will drive our PAT growth of about 30% YOY in FY23 and going ahead. Simultaneously, we are actively evaluating opportunities and building a M&A pipeline to achieve our revenue growth over and above our organic growth rate of 25%. We have laid foundations for a unique business to grab all organic and inorganic opportunities that will help us propel in our growth journey. SGS is poised to grow at a much faster rate than the underlying industry through the financial years 21 to 26. So we are optimistic about the future. So thank you very much we are now open to take any questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. A couple of questions from my side. Firstly, when we are looking at about 25% growth in revenue terms for FY23, how much of this is dependent on two-wheeler recovery what are we building for in that 25% growth?
Sorry, your question was not very clear. So your question is regarding 25% growth in FY23.
How much of that is dependent on the two-wheeler recovery, industry recovery?
So two-wheelers contribute about 45% of our sales currently, and we are winning new businesses. So our sales trajectory is grown on what is the current sale that we have and the growth based on what the industry grows. In addition to that, there are new businesses that we win, which we are nominated for. As I mentioned, 90% of our sales for FY23 is already awarded to SGS. So we see very strong traction and confident of achieving this 25% number.
Okay, so even if two-wheeler industry doesn't see a material recovery, we still should be achieving close to 25% growth.
As I said, we are sufficiently de-risked in terms of the product that we do, but two-wheelers, our dependence is 45%. And at the moment, we see that demand shaping up very well.
So, Dinesh, as we had mentioned earlier, that the time when we had set out our targets in terms of growing at a CAGR of 25%, the underlying assumption was that the auto industry and consumer durables industry would be growing at 10-12% and we'll be outperforming them. Obviously, if the auto industry, instead of 10-12%, if it grows at, say, for an example, say 4-5%, there is bound to be some kind of impact because yes, we have de-risked the business, but still to a certain extent, we are linked to the auto industry as well, right?
Got it, got it. Well, this is very clear that way. Secondly, can you talk about the Exotec's performance in this quarter? How was the revenue trajectory? How did margin behave in this quarter? Is it on track to achieve the turnaround which we are looking to achieve?
So growth at Exotec continues very strongly. So on a YOY basis, they grew 70% from FY22. Q1 FY23 was 70.9% higher than Q1 22. And on a quarter-to-quarter basis, So here the EBITDA margin, I have that number here with me. The EBITDA margins in Q1 were 12.4%. So that's how. So demand is shaping up well. And we are winning a lot of new business at Exotec.
Got it.
And we also won the export business with Exotec. So our theme really was to leverage or cross-sell our products to our existing customers at SGS. And we've done that successfully for a very large global customer, Whirlpool.
Got it. In fact, my last question pertains to the export opportunity at chrome plating. I mean, how big that opportunity can be given the nature of chrome plating as a process, can that be a very large opportunity, particularly for the developed markets where the chrome plating might be difficult to scale up in terms of local manufacturing? Can this be a very large opportunity for us?
It is indeed a very large opportunity. Amongst the aesthetic industry, chrome plating is a large chunk of the aesthetics pool that we have. And this is estimated to be...
So the PV industry is, as it is, a $2.8 billion market that we said in North America and European countries. So if you'll actually see, largely it is a PV industry and passenger vehicles, you require a lot of chrome-plated parts as well. And especially with premiumization, the demand for products like 3D dials, chrome plating and all is increasing. So definitely the market for us is huge. But to quantify in terms of a number, we may not have a current number to give it right now.
So let me just substantiate what Devanshi said. So we are right at the cusp of, chrome plating for us is a relatively new business. We've acquired this company. We grew it 50%. Exotec sales grew 50% last year. And the order book traction that we see is exceedingly strong. That is why we informed the investor community that we would be investing into a new plant and building capacity. And the parts that we are looking at for exporting are relatively small parts, badges, logos, emblems, which we have no real disadvantage in terms of shipping out of India.
Got it. And just to clarify, this $2.8 billion number which Devanshi mentioned is the chroming market for chrome plating market for US and Europe for the passenger vehicle industry.
No, that's the entire PV industry for aesthetic, global aesthetics industry
okay.
For
PV. Okay, got it. Okay, thanks and all the best. I'll come back in queue for further questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh Bendre from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, could it possible to share the breakup of this quarterly revenue in terms of two-wheeler, four-wheeler, consumer durable, even for domestic and export?
So domestic Domestic sales would be somewhere around, one second, just hold on. Domestic sales would be somewhere around 85 to 90% and exports would be around another 10 to 12%.
And exports,
this is largely because our exports have been impacted because of, Ukraine-Russia war which is going on, that has impacted the EMEA demand as well as, a lot of EMEA auto manufacturers are also getting impacted because they are facing issues of supply chain constraints in terms of raw materials.
Yeah, so Mahesh, in terms of India versus exports, so last quarter our India sales were 965.8 million rupees and exports were at 65.9 million rupees. So that just to give you a breakup.
Sure. And sir, in terms of two-wheeler, four-wheeler and consumer durable?
Okay, so on a consolidated basis, our two-wheeler sales were 464 million rupees. Passenger vehicle sales were 9 million rupees. Consumer goods were 193.2 million. Farm equipment was 53.1 million and others 9.5 million.
Sure, sure. And sir, in absolute term, what was the contribution from chrome business?
Chrome was...
Exotech is entirely chrome plating business, right? So if you take your consolidated minus standalone, you'll get your chrome plating business.
Sure, sure, sure. That's okay. Sure, sure. Sure. And so another question is in the month of July, in the presentation we have mentioned that in the month of July we attained the sales of around 38 crores in the month of July. So if I just make it similar for next 3 months, it's like 114 crores, which is like a 10% sequential growth, which seems to be very strong in this kind of environment. So do you think this momentum will sustain going forward?
Absolutely. So we have a very strong order book already we see an uptick. In fact, what our internal targets within this year were, so we have more than offset this loss of sale in exports by increased domestic traction. And we see the consumer demand very, very strong, both across two-wheeler and four-wheeler requirements in India. So we are quite bullish that we will achieve our target.
Sure. And sir, last question from my end is that last quarter we mentioned that we have received orders from Continental, Marelli, Stainless, even Whirlpool. This quarterly we are talking about Aladio, then the electric vehicle, Graviton, and so on. So, I mean, just how this will translate into revenue? What is the potential for the cumulative revenue out of these orders whenever they achieve a steady state? Any ballpark number?
So, I would not like to give a number on the potential, but these are very large opportunities. So, EV market, of course, is an evolving market in India. So, we are trying to supply to all the people who are there. So most of customers we are talking to. So, that, of course, will have its own trajectory. But in terms of Aladio, Aladio is a part of a Mabe group, which was earlier owned by GE Appliances. So they are a $4 billion company and they have plants across the world. So fundamentally, they have 13 plants in Latin America and produce a large number of domestic appliance products. So we've entered this market and how fast can we grow it, it depends on how this business grows, but the potential is huge.
So when these orders that we bagged will achieve, they will peak in the, will they peak in the 2026 or 25, any timeline for this?
So this is like a mine, okay, so peaking, we are far away from peak. We as I said, they make about 9 million cooking products, they make about 2 million washing machines every year, they make about 2 million refrigerators per year. They have 13 factories across Mexico, Argentina, Colombia, Ecuador, supplying to different parts of the world. So it's a very large business. So we have just started our entry position, so I am not in a position to answer at the moment that what is the maximum sales that can we do, but the outlook seems to be exceedingly promising.
Sure.
So we would like to work with large customers. That's our strategy. That's what our strategy has been, that we'd like to operate or work with mega customers, and so that we can build mega accounts with these people. So Aladio is a strong player in the Latin American market, and that is the reason why we targeted them as a customer.
Sure. And so last question from my end is that we have received two orders for Whirlpool's new two plants. So I just wanted to know how many plants we are currently supplying for Whirlpool and what is the potential going forward?
Whirlpool is a $25 billion company globally. Okay, so we are supplying to, I don't have the number here with me as to how many plants that we, I don't have it absolutely ready with me at the moment. But we supply to plants in Asia, we supply to plants in EMEA, and US we were just supplying to one plant, as I said, during our IPO before the pandemic. And now that the pandemic has opened, we've opened those to two new plants, Clyde and Marion. So these two plants are large plants for Whirlpool in Ohio, and we will continue to enter more and more plants in North America. That was and that is our target.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Ranade from GSAM. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions from my side. So starting with the chrome plating subsidiary, where, you know, at least on a sequential basis, there is some bit of margin contraction. I can see it's largely coming from, you know, RM percentage of sales going up. So just over here, is there any under recovery in terms of, you know, delayed, you know, pass through from customer side, or is it just, you know, kind of plain the denominator effect, you know, which is impacting the margins?
So I would say that looking at it quarterly is not the right way to look at it, because there's a strong pass-through mechanism that we have, and we are able to get price increases from our customers. We've been able to do that. But there is a lag, obviously. So let's say for the current quarter, if some raw material prices have increased, so the customer also observes it for a few months, and then we approach them. So this understanding is clear. They understand that this is a business where they need to be cognizant of the increase in input costs, and then we recover it. So this is just a marginal blip in the first quarter, which should get recovered. As I said, we should look at it annually rather than quarterly.
Okay, so is there some, you know, kind of seasonality also in terms of the product profile, which, you know, kind of, you know, in some quarters margins could be lower than peak quarters? Is that also one way to think about it?
Not really, not more than what the industry per se is. So we supply, we are very fairly diversified, and we are diversifying this chrome plating business also. So we supply to the sanitary ware industry, which is not seasonal at all. So houses get built all the while, people replace what they want. Also in the consumer appliance and the automotive industry, pretty much the demand is in line with the industry. So it peaks around festival season time. And so I would say not a very significant seasonality to the sales at Exotech.
Okay, understood. And just one more question in terms of your comment where, you know, in terms of two-wheelers, you said that, you know, sequentially it has grown to the tune of 4-5% in terms of revenue. So if I look at underlying, you know, two-wheeler data, you know, sequential growth is anywhere in the range of 10-11% as a two-wheeler industry as a whole. But probably, you know, in the, let's say, 150cc above, you know, there is some degrowth because of the chip shortage, etc., which hit OEMs and that. So would it be fair for us to see our two-wheeler growth in line with more premium motorcycle growth rather than the overall industry?
No, our products are quite secular. So we supply to entry-level bikes. We supply to top-end bikes as well. So it is, but depending on the specific model, you know, the content per vehicle, as we explained earlier during the calls, varies because the designer has different aesthetic requirements for each vehicle. So it depends on the number of products that I make, because we make a lot of SKUs and a lot of models. So we are present across the segment, right from the top end to the entry level bikes. Typically, some models tend to do well, some don't do well, but overall, I think we still maintain that growth. As I said, the theme driving growth here is premiumization, where there is added content on these vehicles. That is what we look at when we forecast our sales.
Rahul, that's why the best thing would be because since we're supplying across different models, which are whether in mass segment or premium segment, the best is that's why, you know, to see in terms of quarterly, there could be up and down movement. Best is to look at yearly annual trend, how it moves. Because that trajectory moves in the direction, like, you know, it will move in the direction that we have kind of guided for.
Like you saw the last year's performance, the industry grew by 38% and we grew by 75%, right? We've outperformed that. On a quarter-to-quarter, I would say just look at it for a larger range and that theme plays out.
Sure, sure. Just for my understanding, so, you know, in terms of, you know, production, let's say to the two-wheelers or, you know, because the product size is so small, does it work on a just-in-time principle for the OEMs or do they, you know, kind of procure, let's say, some days worth of stock and use it and then procure it more in terms of batches rather than a just-in-time? Just to understand, if that is the case, then probably then maybe I'm wrong in correlating quarter-to-quarter, like you're saying, I should look at it more from a longer term perspective.
No. There are the OEMs maintain some stock. They ask us to maintain some stock. In some cases, where the OEM has a constraint, they would like to have just-in-time supplies, we do that also. Most of them is through stocks. There is a little variation, as I said, and you rightly understood, that one should look at a larger frame. Year-on-year is a better number to look at than to look at immediate quarterly inverting, because sometimes the OEM has some stock for a particular model, which they don't want to lift material at the moment. Depending on the situation, the supply chain. Absolutely quarterly to look at it may not give the right picture completely.
Also sometimes, Rahul, what happens is that maybe the OEM would have planned a particular launch in, say, a particular quarter, but due to certain constraints or maybe some other reason, they also delay their launches. Accordingly, in case if we are giving them just-in-time products, then probably that will move to another quarter. In some cases like exports, we do have to send it in like prior advance.
Understood. No, this is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Joseph George from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. One is, you mentioned about the new plant that you're setting up in Exotic. In that light, actually two questions. One is, what is the return expectations that you have maybe in terms of ROC on this incremental capital? The second is for FY 2023 and FY 2024 at a consolidated level, what kind of CapEx, including maintenance CapEx, should we build into our models?
Capacity expansion post, you know, if you use it as a full capacity, that returns we expected somewhere around 20% ROCE for Exotic. CapEx for the full year would be, because we are incurring a capacity expansion, so that would be somewhere around 60 crores.
Sorry, this is the CapEx for the plant or are you guiding for 60 crores of consolidated CapEx for this year?
Consolidated CapEx, including capacity expansion at Exotic as well as for.
One second, I'll answer this.
Yeah.
Actually, the overall CapEx for the new plant altogether will be around 100 crores. Yeah. For this year it will be around 50 crores.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Including the CapEx that you incur for the Pune plant, the new Pune plant, you will have a total CapEx at the consolidated level of about 60 crores this year. Should we take a similar number for next year?
Yes, largely so.
Largely similar.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhiral from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, if I look at your presentation and particularly on the passenger vehicle side, our growth is lower than the industry growth. So is it due to some model impact?
Our passenger vehicle sales are primarily on two counts. One is chrome-plated parts that Exotech supplies. In addition to that, we supply dials out of SJS. So we are, our passenger vehicle sales has increased last year thanks to this in a large measure due to Exotech. That increase we are doing, we are opening up the market to other customers. So at the moment, we are not participating in the secular growth of the four-wheeler industry. But moving forward, we will increase our footprint and then you would see that traction or growth much stronger.
Okay, okay. And so we are also in the process of acquiring 7.5 acre land in Pune. So is it, is this over and above the existing capex plan of chrome plating, or this includes this is for the you know, chrome plating incremental capex plan?
Yeah, this includes the capex for the capacity expansion.
Okay, okay. And so what is the contribution from the new product technology or advanced product?
So our contributions basically are fairly steady across whatever products we make. So typically, the margins, as we said, are about 26% EBITDA margins we earn on the current business. The new businesses are a little higher for a reason that the competition intensity in those segments is much lower. So maybe about 10 to 12% higher.
So what is the contribution?
10 to 12% is the contribution.
Okay, okay. And, sir, and lastly, have you started supplying the product to the new clients like Stellantis and Continental?
Yes. So we have won the orders. They are under product development. And we will start supplies. So at the moment, these are under development. So these businesses are won. We will start supplies as and when SOP for those models happen.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jeetu Punjabi from EM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. One, can you give us some color on, you know, what's the activity level in new product development and both for the domestic side and the export side? And are you seeing that accelerating, or is it just running at a normative pace like it did in the previous year or two?
We see very rapid acceleration in our new development activity because we are mining a lot of new customers, a lot of new models are coming to us. So our people are very, very busy. So while Honda Motorcycle Scooter Company record awarded us for excellence in new product development, it is raining business, if I may use the word. So we are very, very busy.
And you have enough capacity there, or are you adding capacity on the development side?
No, development. I mean, we have a factory within a factory concept. The same thing for our development teams. So the multiple product categories that we deliver, we have separate teams within the new product development department to focus on this. So that is what allows us to churn out new development products at a much faster pace. And customers are very happy with our output. So at the moment, we don't see. But typically, as we do resource planning, and of course, we regularly augment our capacities in line with what is the order outlook.
Okay. The second question is, you know, the raw material prices, we saw them going up and then softening a bit. Do you think you navigate all this with stable margins, or do you see some pressure at some point in time?
No, as we've already said, we've expanded margins. So while the world over, the talk is of commodity headwinds and supply chain constraints leading to rise in shipping costs and container costs and getting raw materials, we've actually expanded margins both on a quarter-on-quarter basis and on a year-on-year basis. So I think that is the key strength of the company, that no matter what the external environment is, we are very conscious on driving margin improvement within the company.
Okay, excellent. And the last question is, you know, as your stated objective of increasing exports faster than domestic business, is that directionally moving in the right direction?
It is, because we've set ourselves a very strong lever for growth in the export markets. That is primarily our cost competitiveness. So as you see, as I mentioned in my earlier calls, the people we compete with in export markets are manufacturers in Europe, North America. This is a batch mode operation business where it is very difficult for those guys to compete with us, and we are further improving our competitive edge by constantly looking at ways to reduce cost and improve margins. So we are very, very strong contenders for the export market. Due to the 2 years of pandemic, we were not really able to meet our customers as we would have liked. But now that it has opened up, you can already see that we have some good order wins.
Okay. Excellent. Good wishes, sir. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Kale from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. My first question was on the Exotech export orders that you've talked about. What would be the margin profile for these products? Would it be higher than our current kind of domestic supplies?
Largely, it would be. This is the first order that we won. It is chrome plating and painting. So this is in line with the margin that we have. So we've not really pushed the envelope in terms of what margins can we command. The idea really was to enter a large global customer, which we've done successfully. But the margins are in line with what we have for other products. And moving forward, of course, we expect these margins to be higher.
Okay, got it. And just the other business wins that you've talked about, which is with Whirlpool and Eladio. So can you just talk about what are the parts that you'll be supplying here? And then I'll just follow it up with another question on the global space.
So we will be supplying to the washing machine business, which are overlays. So we have a lot of experience in these overlays. So that is what we will be supplying to Eladio to begin with. But they make a lot of appliances, so there are opportunities to sell other products as well.
And Whirlpool is also overlays, or is it the badges that you are doing?
Whirlpool is a chrome-plated, painted badge. So that is that business that we won.
Okay. And then just related to this part, just wanted to understand who are we kind of replacing for these orders, right? I'm sure Eladio would have been sourcing from some of the other suppliers. So who are we replacing? And globally, are we seeing, so I understand that globally, this is quite a fragmented space. There are quite a lot of smaller suppliers, regional suppliers. So are we kind of seeing consolidation happening in this space gradually because of all the global issues that are kind of playing out?
No, what's happened really is that people are taking good due to post-pandemic. Everybody is very cognizant of how stable are these supply chains. So we are benefiting from this China Plus One policy where a lot of exports happened out of China. So they're looking at alternates, and a supplier like SGS, which has a global presence, already supplies to large global marquee customers, is a natural choice for them because we are supplying to the who's who of industry, both in consumer as well as automotive space. So that is a natural advantage that we have at SGS. Plus, as you said rightly, it is a fragmented market. Most of these suppliers in even North America or in Europe or in Latin America are relatively small, and OEMs are looking at very strong companies which have a strong financial profile and are stable so that they can guarantee delivery to them. So we have an impeccable track record of exporting to 20 countries, and we supply parts without ever a customer line stopping. So that's a very powerful statement to make, and that is exactly what the customers are looking for.
Okay. And just lastly, Sanjay, if we look at this space, while it is fragmented, I think profitability is also quite high. Now, from our inorganic kind of targets, are we seeing that globally there are companies which are coming under stress, which can kind of provide us maybe with an opportunity to acquire these companies?
Most certainly. So that's what we are doing at the moment. We are looking at a pipeline of creating a pipeline of companies which are making products similar to what we do. So this is a high-margin business, so those companies also have a margin, but their fixed costs are too high. So as I said earlier in our calls, we have a very strong development capability here at India. We would look at acquiring companies, doing the development work and back-end work in India, and having the customer-facing interface as it is in those companies and extract more margins. So our focus very clearly is on profitability, and we hope that with this strategy, we will be able to make those companies even more profitable and a good addition to our company.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ronak Vora from OHM Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, with the current CapEx of 100 crore that you mentioned.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Ronak. May we request you to please speak a little louder?
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, sir. The current CapEx that you've outlined for the chrome plating business of 100 crore, and you said that the sales will ramp up from 130 crore to 300 crore. So basically, our asset turnover will just be 1.7 times, correct?
No, so the thing is that in this case, we are buying an entire land as well as constructing the building also. So it's not just the cost of the equipment and the setup, but it's also because we are building capacity, the entire building, acquiring land, all that cost is going into this entire CapEx of 100 crore.
Once the CapEx is, when do we expect the CapEx to complete, and how do we plan to ramp up the whole CapEx?
Yeah, so we expect that we should be able to build this plant in about a year and a half. So 18 months is what we look at. So, and at the same time, we are building a strong order pipeline. So we imagine that we would be able to double our sales at Exotech in the next 3 years. So that's the target that we have.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aniruddha Gaggar from Avendus Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning. Two, three questions from my side. Firstly, on your slide number 15, you've given the FY23 industry domestic volume growth for two-wheeler and passenger vehicles at about 16% and 19%. And you mentioned that your underlying growth targets of 25% top-line growth is based on about a 10%-12% growth. Could you help me reconcile that our target is still based on 10%-12%? And if that is the case, then this 16% and 19%, is this something of an optimistic scenario, or how should I look at this? That's the first question. And the second question is more strategic in nature. Last quarter, you mentioned that we are looking for a CEO to run the business while you are looking more at the business development and planning and the pipeline for the M&As. Could you help us understand where we are in that process? Thank you.
Okay, so first things first. So this outlook or expectation of two-wheelers growing at 15% and the passenger vehicles growing by 19%. So I think this is coming out of an all-time low slide in the volumes that they were. So these are essentially broker reports and market research reports on what is the outlook for the current financial year for these companies. So our outlook of 25% growth was based on a 10%-12% growth of the underlying industry. So that is good enough for us. So all this slide signifies is that while the industry is bullish about this growth, we feel that we are in the right segment. Close to about 70% of our sales is coming from these two industries, which are likely to grow much beyond that 10%-12% target that we had originally. So we are quite bullish and optimistic that our overall 25% growth target would be met.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay, and then you had another question on the strategic piece. So could you repeat that question again, please?
Yes, your last earnings call, you mentioned that you'd be moving out of the CEO role and you'd be looking to hire somebody.
So we've set up a stable company. Joe and I have run this company, and we've created this infrastructure both in terms of the human resources and the process and systems that we have. Now, what we are looking at is that what would be the next level for the company, more futuristic products. So the search for the CEO is on, and we are in the process of finalizing this candidature. So in the next few months, we hope to have a CEO on board.
All right. And may I just ask one other question? You mentioned that, you know, 90% of your targeted sales in FY23, the orders are already in the bag.
That's right.
Do you have any assessment about the next year? How much of the lead time would you know that, you know, how much of, let's say, FY24, if we just, as you mentioned, it's a 25% CAGR, so we're looking at a 25% top line growth in FY24 as well. Do we have any assessment, or is it too early to know how much of those orders are in, would probably be, may not be in the bag, but you've got fairly good visibility because it's all model-based?
So our outlook really is that next year also we should grow at 25%, but we don't give out a forecast specifically for the year because the lead time that we have for development is varies from 2 weeks to 6 months. So many times while we are in discussion with customers, the nomination is not done till much later. So that is the reason why we don't give a forecast. So we talk on at the 1st of April every year, where do we stand, and that is what we looked at. So 80% has grown to 90% in the first quarter for the current year. So similarly, we expect next year also to shape up.
Right. Thank you very much for all the answers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Jain from NB Investments. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, I have two questions. The first one is regarding the receipt of orders. As and when we receive the orders from our customers, the new orders, how much time would it take to supply in order, first is to start the order and as well as to reach the peak level of that order?
So as I said to the previous question, our lead time, so we can actually deliver parts within 2 weeks. So it depends on the product category. So we have 11 product categories that we manufacture. So the lead time varies for each. Now while we can do the production within 2 weeks or 1 month or 6 months depending on what the product is, the peak is reached based on what is the nominated business, when is the customer going to peak in terms of his volume requirements. So that varies based on customer demand. Normally, the first year, the customers ramp up, and ramp up happens roughly about 9 months to 1 year, depending on the plan of the OEM. I cannot really comment on that. So we focus on making sure that we win the businesses which are large volumes, and we also make sure that we deliver very quickly so that we can start sales as quickly as possible.
So is it fair to assume that if it is for the existing models, the ramp up would be very fast since the customer would be having that demand ongoing?
Absolutely right.
Okay. So my second question is, you talked about getting more and more export orders. So, and you also mentioned about the advantages that the company would be offering to the export customers. So my question to you is, other than the timely supplies, the quality and the financial strength of the company, the pricing would be the more, important criteria while deciding for themselves. So just wanted to know what would be the price difference between the SJS and whichever the customers, whichever the competitor we would be replacing.
So at the export market, OEMs look at a 10% advantage ballpark. So they would look that if they are buying from a European supplier, SJS price should be about 10% lower because they want to do some validation expenses, etc. They want to figure that out within the pricing. But our idea is that we are at the same quality level and better than your existing supplier. So ballpark number is about 10% lower is what their expectation is. At SJS, as I said earlier, we are focused on improving and expanding that margin. So our manufacturing costs are far lower than that 10%. So I am much more competitive than a supplier in North America or in Europe supplying to that customer, and that is the reason why we are very bullish on exports.
Okay, so as and when you do any mergers in the outside India, you talked of shifting the design and development to India, but is it there is a possibility to shift the manufacturing also to India?
Yes, depends on case-to-case basis. So typically, ideally, what I would like to do is that the customer-facing interface remains the same. There could be manufacturing done out of India, supplied there. So there are all these possibilities exist.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh Bendre from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you again for the opportunity. Sir, you mentioned that you bagged the business for Mahindra's new Scorpio N. So is the content very similar to what we are offering for XUV700 as of now?
Yeah, largely in line. I don't want to give you exact numbers, but it is a very lucrative business.
Okay. Sure. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vijay Sarda from VL Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. Congratulations on a very good set of numbers. So my question is two-prong. One, how we see our non-auto business developing over next 3 to 5 years, as we already started working with Whirlpools and others. So how we see that business growing? That is the first. And second, when we're talking about 30% kind of growth for over next 2 to 3 years, do we need to do additional capex more than what we stated of 100 crore in order to get that growth?
So as I said, okay, let me answer the second part of your question first. So at Bangalore, which is our main facility, we are our capacity utilization is still quite low. We just about 55% utilization. So we have enough headroom to grow further. So no significant capex required at Bangalore. At the chrome plating plant, we've already said we expect to spend about 100 crores to increase the capacity at that location. So that is what we foresee to do at the moment. Coming back to the other question, that how will our consumer business, what is the outlook for the consumer business? So we are extremely bullish because we supply to virtually the who's who of the industry in India. We have not really been able to venture out because for the last 2 years because of the pandemic, but we are winning large businesses. And as I said earlier, cost competitiveness is key to us. We already deliver the global levels of quality that these people require. So there is no doubt in my mind that competitively, given that the strong trajectory, the strong profile that we have within the company for new product development, timely supplies, quick response to customers, we should be able to grow this very, very significantly. So 25% growth year on year is what looks absolutely possible, and we intend to do that.
Thanks, sir. Just last question, this Pune capacity of this steel chrome plating, what kind of margin we can inch up to in next 2 to 3 years once we do with the capex and all that? So currently we are around 12.8 is what has been said. So how much potential there we have?
So our strategy, okay, we won't like to give out very optimistic numbers, but we have a strategy in mind. The primary strategy is that we will change our customer focus from the domestic to the export market. Now, export market margins are higher, and that is what will drive growth. Moving forward, what I can guide is that our margins on a steady state basis at Exotech would be between 13 to 15%.
Okay, great, sir. Great. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Devanshi for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this call. If anyone's questions remain unanswered, you can please reach out to me and we will answer your responses to the best of our ability. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.